So Luke chapter 2 is what we're going to be looking at. And if you would, I'd like to pray before we read the word. So let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, God, for the incredible gift that you've given us, which is Jesus, your Son. And Lord, as we open up your word, I pray, God, that this would become more real to us and more understandable to us. God, and that you would touch our hearts, Lord. Even those who have heard the story many, many times, I pray, Father, that there would be something new and something exciting and something relevant to us today. Lord, I pray that you touch hearts and change lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to read Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." It's a beautiful story. We know it well. This is the story of the birth of Jesus, which is what we celebrate at this time of year. One of the things that struck me about this, because every year we go through something along these lines, and there's always something new for us in this, in the fact that that Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes just left an impression on me. Because babies usually like to be swaddled. They like to have that cozy, close feeling. And so we wrap them all tight, and they feel all comfy, and they feel all cozy, and they seem to like that. It gives us the impression, and it gives us the picture that Jesus was human. He actually came as a baby. We know that, but we see the signs of it. He was just like you and me. He's a Savior that actually could be identified with. He knows our feelings. He went through these same things. He had to be swaddled. He came as a little baby. Most other religions, they have man striving to get to God. Well, let's do a bunch of things and maybe God will be happy with us. Let's do all these things and maybe we could reach out and we could be good enough to reach to God. What we have, what Jesus has showed us, is that he's coming to reach after us. He's coming and he's reaching out to you. He's come down to identify with you. It's quite an amazing story. He is an approachable God. What's more approachable than a baby? Most of the time, even if the parents don't want you around them, you want to look anyway. You want to get a peek because a baby is not intimidating. He's not the God which everybody thinks, "Well, lightning's going to strike me if I enter the church." He's approachable. He's approachable as a baby. This is the way he came. It's hard to comprehend the magnitude of this, because the Bible actually says that the entire world is held together by his word. But yet now, the one who's so big and so great and so powerful that the world is held together by his word, is now being held by more than likely a teenage little girl. Fascinating. This is Jesus. And I just wonder about his childhood, because he was human just like us. Did they tickle him? Did they play little games with him? Did they talk the little baby talk to Jesus? Oh, Jesus, you're such a good little boy. Did they do that kind of thing to him? Well, probably. He was a baby. That's what you do to babies. You talk silly little talk to babies. And they coo and all that kind of stuff. This is what babies do. Did they feed him and they say, okay, here comes the train and here comes the plane? Well, no, they didn't have planes and trains, but maybe here comes the donkey, right? It's Jesus. He was a boy. He was a little baby. This is who came. But the question is, why did he come? Why did he become flesh? Why? This is the amazing, why did he do it? Why did he have to do it? Because it was necessary. And before we answer that, I want to divert us to something totally different. I want us to divert us to something that we all know, something that's been happening in the last week, since a week ago Friday. We've all heard of what's been going on in Connecticut. The Sandy Hook Elementary School. The horrible things that happened that day. We've been riveted over the past week or more as we watched the story unfold. We've seen the faces of people. We've seen the pictures of little children. We've seen the horror. We've seen the grief. We've seen all these things over this past few days. And people struggle to understand why. Well, I don't have all the answers. And that's not where I'm going with this. But there is something that we could take away from it. Because out of all the horror and out of all the things that happened on that day, we did hear a couple of things about a couple of people that did some amazing, amazing feats that day. There were a couple of teachers in that school that actually did what most people are describing as heroic. Almost everybody you hear, they describe, they did this, they were heroes. They did this, they were heroes. In almost every article, in almost every newscast, in almost every story, they did this, they were heroes. I want to read to you from a news clip from NBC. It's about Anna Marie Murphy. She was one of the teachers that day. It says, Anna Marie Murphy died Friday protecting the children she loved. As a gunman fired a fusillade of bullets at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, 52-year-old Murphy shielded the bodies of students. Authorities told her father, Hugh McGowan of Katona, her body was found in a classroom covering a group of children. A first responder said she was a hero. She was a hero. Because she decided to give her life to cover the life of somebody else. She was a hero because she gave her life so that somebody else might live. She was a hero because she didn't think of herself, but she thought of others, and she said, I will die so that others might live. And the world recognizes her as a hero. The world, almost throughout all reports, everywhere you hear, she was a hero. And now I submit to you that Jesus Christ, The reason he came, the reason he was born, that little baby, was that he had in his mind that he was going to do the same thing for you and for me. He was going to die in our place. He was going to die for us. He is our hero. He is the one who is like this teacher who said, okay, I'll take all the bullets. I'll take everything on me so that they could live. Jesus did the same thing. Jesus came and he died and he was that little baby and he was swaddled and he had that mission in his heart from before time began that he was going to die for you and for me. This is why he was born. This is why he came. This is why he died. Turn over, if you have a Bible, turn over to John 3:16. Most of you probably know this. You've heard this many times. John 3:16, very famous verse. For those of you who are a little older and sports fans, you might remember there used to be a time, I'm digressing. There was a time at sporting events that there was this guy, he would dress up in a rainbow wig at sporting events. You remember this guy? They called him Rainbow Head. And he would hold up the sign, John 3:16, all the time. All right, so you don't remember. Okay. he did it. You could look him up. All right, this is the verse that he would hold up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The reason that Anne Marie Murphy died for those kids, it says she was protecting the children that she loved. She did it because of love. She did it out of the love that she had in her heart for those children. And we read in John 3:16 that this is the exact same reason that Jesus died for you and me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. It's because of love that Jesus came. It's because of love that Jesus died. This is our God. He loves us so much that he's willing to give his life for us so that none would perish. You see, the other thing about this story in Sandy Hook is that we've been shocked by the evil. We've been shocked by the incredible evil that could actually kill innocent little children and adults. But it seems even more shocking that someone would kill innocent little children, because there is evil in this world. We know there's evil in this world. Sometimes we don't want to look at it. We don't want to hear about it. We don't want to talk about it. But when it's in our face, we have to acknowledge there is evil in this world. And what we see is evil unleashed on that day. But I will tell you this, that the evil that was unleashed on that day, it wasn't born on that day. It wasn't born on that day. That evil had been there for a while in the heart of the person. That evil was not something that just came out that one day. It had been there for a long time, and we just discovered it on that day. We just were allowed to see it on that day, but it doesn't mean that it wasn't there all along. It doesn't mean that it wasn't there for maybe weeks and maybe months and maybe years. We just got to see it on that day. But it was there. It was there. And what we have is we have, as the angel announced in the day of Jesus' birth, that a Savior is born. A Savior is born. Well, if there's a Savior, that means there's something that we need to be saved from. A Savior is useless if there's no danger. Well, we have a Savior that was born. And that Savior is because there is evil in this world. There is evil that needs to be overcome, and that exists in this world. Whether we want to believe it or whether we don't want to believe it, we have need of a Savior. That's why a Savior today was born to us. Because a Savior was needed. A Savior today is born. But we say, well, we're not perishing. There's nothing wrong. What do we need a Savior for? And then I think of the reports at Sandy Hook where we've heard, have you heard, you know, that the gunfire, the intercom system was still on in the school when gunfire started. And they could hear, the teachers in the classrooms could hear gunfire happening. But the children, many of them had no idea what it was. But the teachers, some of them realized, trouble is here. Evil is here. Something is wrong. Something is dreadfully wrong. There is danger. There is need of a Savior here. There is need of something to be done so that harm doesn't come. And so they took the kids and they hid them in closets and they covered themselves over those kids because they realized that there was danger. And sometimes we go through life as those little kids, not realizing that the sound of gunfire is all around us. That there is a need to be saved from what's going on in this world. Because there is evil and it is around us and it does not want us to live. And so Jesus sent his Son into this world so that none should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. That's why he came. That's why he came as a child, so he could die so that we could have everlasting life. And you say, well, there's nothing. Yes, there is something wrong. And it's at these times that we come face to face, so bold and so right in before our eyes that we can't deny it. There's evil that we must escape from. And Jesus comes as the hero. Jeremiah 31:3, it says, He has an everlasting love for you. Everlasting. And with loving kindness, he's drawing you. He's drawing you. He's calling you with love, not with intimidation, not with fear, not with wrath. He's calling you with love. He's calling you where you are with love because he's loved you with an everlasting love and with loving kindness, he's drawing you. That's what the Bible tells us about him. There's a verse in Mark 10:45. I will read it to you. It says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." He came to die. He came and he knew that was his mission. His mission, as stated in his own words, was, "I've come not to get something from you, but to give something to you. I don't want anything from you. I just want to protect you. I just want you not to perish. I want you to have everlasting life. I came to give my life for your life." Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, so we deserve death because of sin. But Jesus says, "I'll take it. I'll stand in. I'll stand before them." It's like one of those teachers, if they would have known a gunman was coming to their school and they had time to think about it, maybe they would still have gone. But in Jesus' case, he knew for 33 years that the gunman was coming. He knew for his whole life that the gunman was coming, that death was coming, and that he was going to step in front of it for you and for me. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. This is our Savior. This is our God. This is who we serve. He did not come to condemn us. He came to save us. He did not come into the world so that the world through him might be condemned, but that the world through him might be saved. He came to save, not to condemn. If you feel condemnation, that's not from God. Condemnation is not from God. God will draw you. He will draw you. He will let you know something is wrong, but he will draw you with love, not with condemnation. And could you imagine God's role in all of this? Because John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his son. We've seen the parents, and we've seen grief-stricken parents crying. We've seen them crying over the past week and a half. We've seen them mourning. We've seen them struggle to get out sentences, to be interviewed. And some of them say, no, we can't even be interviewed. Forget it. I can't put myself. I won't be able to even handle being interviewed and talking about this. Look at God's role in this. When Jesus said, I'll go, I'll cover them, God said, okay, I'll let you go. The heart of a father sending his son, watching his son, knowing that the son is going to die. Could you imagine Anne Marie Murphy's father saying, okay, I know my daughter's going to go. He probably would do everything he could to get her to stop. But our God so loved you that he said, go ahead, Jesus. You can go. You could go. I know what they're going to do to you. You could still go. Why? Because I love them. In Romans 8, it says that the love of God is so great that nothing can separate us from him. Nothing, not angels, not principalities, not anything can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate, nothing you've done, nothing that you've thought, nothing in your past, nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. God gave his son for you and for me. I want to read to you one other thing from the newspapers or from the news reports. It's actually not a newspaper anymore. We don't really read newspapers anymore. It's another person, another teacher that day. Her name is Victoria Soto. It says, Victoria Soto, whose family said she died protecting her terrified students from rifle fire, will be remembered Wednesday. And it's expected that mourners will be wearing scarves and ribbons of green, her favorite color. Her family is likely to talk about her devotion to students, so many of whom were murdered despite her selfless efforts. They always brought a smile to her face. She loved those students more than anything. So many of whom were murdered despite her efforts. This is the tragedy of the life of Jesus as well. So many will not get behind the Savior. They will not get behind the covering of the Savior. Even though he was selfless, even though he died, even though he gave his life, even though he did everything he could, even though he provided a covering, so many will still die because they won't get behind him. Despite all of her efforts to cover and to protect, many of those children for whatever reason, were still killed on that day. Maybe they didn't perceive the threat. Maybe they didn't think it was a big deal. Maybe they didn't understand. But death rang out that day. They weren't behind the protection of the person that was there to protect them. Today, we're all offered a chance to get our lives right with God. Get behind the protection of the Savior. Get behind the one who came to die for you. Get behind the one who sees that there's a problem. Who sees that there is evil. Who sees that there is a need of a Savior. There's need of a Savior, and we need to get behind that Savior. We need to get behind the one who died for us. We need to get behind him. This is why he died. This is why we celebrate on this day, because of his sacrifice, because of the awesome thing that he did. We remember what he did, and we put it into, we apply it to our lives. We get behind the one who is dying, who died to protect us. The Bible tells us that he came for peace. Peace and goodwill towards men. The angel actually said, "I bring you tidings of great joy." Great tidings of joy, good tidings, and great joy unto all men. It's for all of you. It's for all of us. And I know many of you have accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And many of you maybe have been away from him for a while. He's calling you back with loving kindness. He's calling you back with tender mercies. He's calling you back with his love. He calls you back as his Savior today. And if you've never known him, he calls you to come to him today. This is the message of the birth of Jesus, the approachable God, the one who came in flesh and blood and gave it for us. He felt all the pain. He knew what he was getting into, and he did it because of you, because of love for you and for me. And it also tells us in the birth of Jesus that on the night of his birth, that they went knocking on various inns. We assume maybe it was more than one, at least one. And they were told, "No room here. Sorry, all booked up. Don't have any room for you." And many times this is the response in our hearts too. No room for Jesus. I got a pretty full life. No room for Jesus. No room for a Savior. I'll go about my own business. Tonight, today, God is calling us to make room in the inn of our hearts. Make room in the inn of our hearts for the Savior. Make room, allow him to come in and inhabit the place of your heart. Allow him to come in and be part of your life. Allow him to have a place in your inn. Just as no one would say the death of these two teachers was pointless. No one would say that. We don't want anyone to say the same thing about the life of Jesus, because he gave his life as well. He was just as much and more so a hero because he died for the whole world. Even when the world
did not like him, even when the world did not appreciate him, even when the world did not understand him, he still died. Because that's how much he loved us. Make room in your inn for Jesus today. Make room in your heart. I'm going to give you a chance to do that right now. Why don't you bow your heads? I'd like all heads bowed and all eyes closed right now. If you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, today is a day when you could do that. Today is a day when you can let Christ into your heart. You could recognize him for the hero that he is, for the death that he died for you. You could recognize him today as the Lord of your life. It meant something, even though it was 2,000 years ago. It meant something. It was something real. There is a danger in this world. All that is needed is you ask God to forgive you of your sins and you say, I accept Jesus as my Savior. I accept you, Jesus, as my Savior. I will make you the Lord of my life, the leader of my life. This is the offer that Jesus makes to you. This is the offer that Jesus makes to you today. Is there anyone who will receive that offer, who says, I want to make Jesus my Savior this day? Is there anyone? If there is, would you just raise your hand just for a second? Just raise your hand just for a second and we'll pray. If you say, yes, I will not ignore the Savior. I will not ignore the life that was given for me. I will make room in the inn of my heart. If this is you, just raise your hand for a second and we will pray. God has made room for you. God has made room for you, and Jesus has come to give his life for you. I'm going to pray, and if you want Jesus as your Savior, you could just agree with me in prayer. You could say your own words if you want to say your own words, but I'm going to pray. Father, we come to you. We thank you for the sacrifice that you have made. We acknowledge you as Savior and Lord. We acknowledge you as our hero. You are our hero. We know that you have died for us. We thank you for stepping in front of the gunman. We thank you for stepping in front of the death that was supposed to be for us and taking our punishment. We praise you, Lord. We accept you as our Savior and our Lord. This day, we ask you to forgive us of our sins, and we commit ourselves to you. We thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. We praise your name, for you are great and you are glorious. And we thank you for the good tidings that you have given for peace and goodwill to all men. May your name be praised now and forever. Amen. God's name be praised.